The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice, Jesus proclaimed to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. A necessary sermon to be sure. Just 3 days prior, their entire world had been wrecked, and there was little about which they could rejoice. The one they hoped to be the Messiah had been mercilessly beaten and executed on a cross. So much for that hope. What good is a dead deliverer? Even worse than the dashing of their messianic hopes was the loss of their teacher and their friend. The loss was especially acute for Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus had exorcised 7 demons. Maybe the devil did have the last word, she must have thought. But ultimately, what troubled them even more than Messiah's death and the loss of a friend and teacher was the painful reality that the one they call friend and teacher died alone. In the end, all the followers hid their faces and abandoned Jesus, betrayed him into the company of crucified and dying thieves, to be tormented by brutal pagan soldiers. A brutal last few days for the ladies indeed. They didn't walk to the tomb that day carrying Easter lilies and singing hymns about the resurrection, you know. No, they were on their way to the scene of the crime. They were on their way to see the consequences of their sin. They were going to the place where dead people stay dead. The pain of lost friends continues to hurt, and the guilt of things done and left undone troubles the conscience. Sin, death, and the accusations of the devil were right in front of them, cold as granite, and too late to change any of it. They had absolutely no excuse and were left with absolutely no recourse. Guilty as charged, and we all know the wages of sin, death. But we dare not miss how Matthew starts this passage. Toward dawn of the first day of the week is what he said. And if we hear anything in those words, it is that something was different. And using a gravestone for a pulpit, the messenger of the Lord sat on the tombstone and preached that the old age had passed and the new age has now come, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But isn't it interesting that both the angel and Jesus told the women to not be afraid? Now, the women's fear was quite understandable. Earthquakes and angels and formerly occupied but now empty tombs, well, that's terrifying. But all that weirdness pales in comparison to the news that the one denied and abandoned by the women was now alive. Jesus was out of the tomb. Free-ranging Jesus was on the loose. Is that good news? What would he say to them? What should he say to them? Well, we don't have to wonder long, because Jesus tracked them down and preached to them the word with which we began. Rejoice, rejoice, and do not be afraid, he said. That's called an absolution. And it is a promise that the new age has come, because God is now being unfair. He's being unfair because he isn't giving what is deserved, condemnation and death, but mercy and forgiveness instead. Jesus Christ was killed by sinners, yet he lives again preaching mercy and forgiveness to his murderers. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that means he can never be silenced again, too. Well, here we sit, looking beautiful and smelling good, but our lives are just like those two women. Dead people stay dead. The pain of lost friends and family continues to hurt. The guilt of things done and left undone still troubles the conscience. Sin, death, and the accusations of the devil are right in front of us, cold and unmoving as granite. And there's nothing we can do to change any of it. We have absolutely no excuse, and we are left with absolutely no recourse. Indeed, we are guilty as charged, and we all know the wages of sin. They are death. And that's why we heard the Apostle Paul say in the second reading, we have died. Nevertheless, rejoice, a new day has dawned, and I have good news for you this morning. The risen Christ, free-ranging Jesus, has commanded me to say to you, rejoice, do not be afraid. You are forgiven without condition by the Father for Christ's sake. Do not be afraid. Christ took your sin. He took your death. And he took the devil's accusations against you to the grave with him, and he left it there, and there it stays. And now your life is in the risen Christ, who is for you. Amen.